saving money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. And George, we got a big weekend ahead of us in the National Football League. Lots of injuries. And I think with the removal of Jason Garrett from the sidelines for the New York Giants, I think firing season is officially here. You know, a lot of the times these teams, they do like to wait until after Thanksgiving. Reportedly, you know, we've had some coaches be told that this week is going to be, you know, their last game. And so that starts with Freddie Kitchens being named interim offensive coordinator of the New York Giants. Steelers tight end Eric Ebron is expected to miss extended time with a knee injury. Don't know if we will see him back this year. Zach Wilson. Yes, that's Zach Wilson is going to be starting at quarterback for the New York Jets this Sunday. And the Packers offensive line just continues to be brutal for them. Their left tackle Jenkins is out for the year. David Bakhtiari suffers a setback. You know, Aaron Rodgers is dealing with this toe injury. And look, you know, it's week 12. We're in the last week of November. These guys are tired. Their bodies hurt. They've been getting beat up. I mean, I do not envy an NFL player as it gets cold. It's winter outside, and these guys' bodies, they really go through it, man. Like, I do not envy NFL players this time of the year.
Yeah, it's why, you know, for all the criticisms that we dole out here of whatever, how a guy plays, this, that, the other thing, I don't criticize an NFL player's money. I don't, because they go through hell. I mean, give us the entertainment that we love to watch on Sundays. That's what a running back goes through, 40 car crashes a game. The offensive lineman, defensive lineman crashing into each other every play. Their quality of life's not the same after this. It's just not. Your body is so beat up. It is what it is. Why you get paid all that money. But I can't imagine what they must feel like on a Monday after a game. Can't even imagine. Okay, there's not enough hot tubs in the world or cold tubs to make me feel any better than that. But it's part of the game, right? It's not the best team that wins. It's the healthiest team. Who's going to be the healthiest team? You look at that Packers. You know, they lost two of their offensive linemen. You don't think Aaron Donald and Von Miller are going, yeah, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. You know, they're going to come after him hard because the blocking's not going to be there. It has changed the Packers' scheme. Because they may have to go to max protection much more often than they'd like. And if that toe of Rodgers is bothering him, maybe he doesn't have escapability. Or not as much escapability as he normally would have. It's going to be an interesting game Sunday in Green Bay.
It is. And, you know, my favorite thing to do, literally my favorite thing in sports, it's to make fun of the New York Giants. I love making fun of Dave Gettleman. I love making fun of Joe Judge. I loved making fun of Jason Garrett before he got fired. So I have a little quote for you from Joe Judge, who, by the way, I just said that Freddie Kitchens is expected to be named interim offensive coordinator. And the reason why I said expected instead of he is because of this quote from Joe Judge. He is choosing to be secretive about Jason Garrett's replacement because he said, any competitive advantage you want to have, you keep to yourself. Name someone more clueless than Joe Judge. Name an NFL head coach more clueless than Joe Judge. What a clown, George. I think the Jets are a better run franchise than the New York Giants. That is my take.
It's hard to argue with you. I mean, listen, I think Garrett is just the beginning here. I mean, who goes next? Gettleman, Judge, both, Daniel Jones. I think they all might be gone next year. All right, Barkley, got to go with a new contract for him. He might be gone. You know, he can't stay healthy at all. This could be a completely different Giants team next year. You know, Giants have two likely top 10 picks next season. I mean, this is not a quarterback-heavy draft. It's not like it was the past couple of seasons. So you may not be able to find a franchise quarterback. Maybe you got to be in play for Aaron Rodgers. Not that he'd ever want to come to New York or New Jersey, whatever you want to look at it. Russell Wilson, I don't see him playing here either. You know, so Giants could be in a lot of trouble here because Daniel Jones is obviously not the answer. I don't blame him for everything. I think the offensive line is it's a bunch of turnstiles, a bunch of trash cans out there that they haven't fixed in years now. Barkley looked like he was going to be an all-world running back. Gets hurt a lot. So that hasn't happened here. You signed Galladay. Andrew Thomas, your left tackle, has more touchdown receptions than Galladay does this season. It just hasn't worked out. I mean, you know, and when you get to the coaching, Joe Judge, I mean, it's the wrong guy again, and that's on the marriage. You keep hiring the wrong people. You got to hire the right people. And I understand you're not going to get it right, maybe not the first time, but, you know, you've had 3, 4, 5 opportunities here, and it comes up to each time, not working. Just not working.
It's really not. That is my favorite stat of all time, though, is that the offensive line for the New York Giants has more offensive touchdowns than Kenny Galladay's. All right. Who is the head coach of the New York Giants next season, George? Go. Rapid fire.
Kellen Moore? I'm afraid it'll be Kellen Moore. It's a Garrett. They might just take Moore.
I can't believe you just said that to me. That is the rudest thing you have ever said to me. Just absolutely brutal. Kellen Moore, please never leave Dallas. I will donate to a GoFundMe to pay your salary. Please never leave Dallas. We need you. You will have the keys to the kingdom when Mike McCarthy decides he doesn't want to coach anymore. Please do not leave. Everyone, we are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick. We've got lots more fantasy football content to analyze this week. We are going to get your Week 12 fantasy football team rosters in shape. And then, of course, we are going to do a little bit of fantasy reality. See you back in a few moments. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I am Davis Maddock, joined by George Kurtz. We are helping you get your fantasy football team set for this Sunday, Week 12. So, you know, the way fantasy football playoffs work, George, is they're about to start. Most leagues, I think, are going to start in Week 14. Some are going to start in Week 13. Before we get into our segment here about use it or lose it, I have a question for you. Do you prefer the 12-week schedule that we always had and then two rounds for the final, so you play in Week 16 and Week 17 cumulatively for the final, or do you like the added week of all play in the regular season?
You know, I don't think of all the leagues I play in, and most of these leagues I've played it for years, I don't think any use a two-week final, not one. Offhand, I'd have to check to make sure, but I don't remember one. Maybe I just haven't been in the finals where I don't know. But I don't think any of these do a two-week final. I would prefer that, by the way. I like the two-week final. It takes away some of the randomness luck that might happen in a 1 week. Yeah, you know, well, this guy didn't play, or this guy went for 9,000 points. I was that guy, whatever, 5, 6 years ago, that got girlied in the final where he had like 9,000 points on a Sunday, and I went against him in three final leagues. The guy got girly, and I got crushed like a bug. I never had a chance. So girly, all those points, like, all right, I'm done. You know, it's hockey season. So I prefer that, but I don't think I play in any of those. I'm playing in some leagues that go with a 14-week regular season and 15, 16, 17 in the playoffs. The only thing I truly care about, don't count Week 18. That's the only thing that I would actually complain about. Other than that, I'll deal with any of the other rules. But one thing you would hear me, you know, pipe up about is if you're counting Week 18. Especially if it's Week 18 solo. If you 17 and 18 is your finals, I can live with that. But if week 18, the final week of the season, is your solo week where that is what determines it, I think that's silly.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think it's, and I like the all play. I actually love all play every single week. My favorite league format is you have your head-to-head matchup versus someone else, and then you also play against the league average score every single week. I think that that shakes out a lot of variance. I've always loved that as a way to score for fantasy football. So our segment here, our idea is essentially use it or lose it. Are these guys going to be droppable, or are you going to keep them for another week? So Zach Wilson, of course, this is going to be more towards super flex leagues. And I'm actually in this position, George. I'm having to make a decision on, do I want to start Zach Wilson against the Houston Texans in a super flex league, or do I start, you know, a flex starter, right? So, you know, just your average, you know, your wide receiver three, your running back two style guy. So Zach Wilson, big chance to prove it this week against the Houston Texans. Use him or lose him.
Yeah, now super flex leagues are my favorite types of leagues. I think all leagues should be super flex. Quarterback is so deep nowadays. Play with two quarterbacks. It's more strategy. It's more fun. My mind anyway here. Now, I think this is kind of easy. How can you trust Zach Wilson? I mean, it's just not working out right now. I don't know how healthy he truly is here. I think he's going to start this week anyway, but the knee, I don't think the knee is completely healthy here. I think they might be playing it safe with him here. So I think for this week, I know the matchup looks good, but I don't see how you can trust him. There's got to be someone else on your waiver wire. I would think maybe the Superflex, there's not, because let's face it, generally every quarterback is taken there. But I'd like to see what else is out there for Zach Wilson, because I don't have him anywhere near my top 24 quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, I don't have him near there as well. In fact, I probably have him ranked last of all of the starting fantasy football quarterbacks. But I do think, you know, when it comes down to it, I think I probably will not be able to help myself. And I think just the idea of starting a quarterback versus starting someone at any other position, I think in the end, you do probably just go.
No, you with go quarterbacks.
And I think he can have a good game. You know, I don't know what his health is like, but I there's something in me watching Zach Wilson make his throws outside of the pocket that I do think he might be able to figure some things out. And it's a good team to figure things out against in the Houston Texans. All right. Our next guy, Odell Beckham. You know, this is a guy who I think probably has been cut in some leagues after being cut by the Browns. He hasn't produced anything in like 6 weeks now of the NFL season, no touchdowns this year, but he just got to have his bye week with the Los Angeles Rams. He's had some time to learn their offense, read their playbook, so on and so forth. So Odell Beckham this week against the Green Bay Packers, do we start him? Do we sit him? Do we cut him? Do we try to trade for him? What are we doing with Odell Beckham Jr. this week against the Packers?
Well, we're not trying to trade for him. All right, I'll put that out there. I'm not trading for Odell Beckham. If you're giving him away, you know, for nothing, I don't care who I'm giving back, fine. But I'm not trying to trade. I'm not giving anything of value for Odell Beckham. I'm curious. I'm as curious as anybody else. I think we knew the first week he was there with the Rams, it was going to be a nothing. Right? He's only there a couple of days. No way he knew when he plays. Now he's had, you know, about 2 weeks now to learn this offense, getting a rhythm with Stafford here. They need somebody to take the pressure off Kupp. This week, listen, we saw what Jefferson and Thielen did to this Green Bay secondary. They ate them up. Stafford's not going to be afraid to play in Green Bay. He's done it many times throughout his career. The weather checked right now, right around freezing, not terrible for Green Bay. So it's you could throw the ball some here. I'm curious. I think he's probably as healthy as he's been all year thanks to the bye week here. I'm curious about Odell Beckham. I'm using him. I only have him in one league. And I put him in. It came down really to him or Sutton, by the way, who I couldn't get rid of last week. There was nobody on the waiver wire to take, so I kept Sutton. So I'm going to use Beckham this week. I think they have to get him involved some way, somehow, to take that pressure of Kupp as we get closer to playoff season. Using Beckham.
Yeah, you know what? I am also I am kind of surprised that this was my answer. You know, I didn't know if I was actually going to go in this direction, because there are so many different ways that this can go. I think the bye week is going to be very helpful. You know, I think the fact that he basically had a chance to relax a little bit, read the playbook, figure it out, and just, you know, to even understand the offense that the team is using, I feel like is going to be, you know, pretty valuable for them. And look, the alternative is what are they going to do? They're going to play Ben Skowronek? Are they going to play a second tight end, even though they don't have a second tight end, right? You know, they were playing Skowronek and Kendall Blanton in their most recent game. And I don't think they want to do that. So I feel pretty confident that we're at least going to see some design touches for Odell Beckham this week against the Green Bay Packers. So I think you can. I just mentioned in one of our last segments that I just cut Laviska Shenault Jr., but I think this might end up being bad, and this is why. Last week, Jamal Agnew got injured, right? So he's on season-ending IR. It was a huge problem for Shenault playing with Agnew and playing with Tavon Austin because he couldn't play his natural position in the slot. But I think now they're going to move him back into the slot, and I actually think Laviska might have, you know, 70 yards and a touchdown here against the Falcons, and I'm going to be cursing myself for dropping him.
Now, I only had Shenault in one league, and I dropped him the week before you did. And I have an opening in that league. He's still available. And listen, I know I didn't have nice things to say about the Jaguars offense, and I still don't. I think they're running, like I said, I think they're running schemes that are just ridiculous. They just don't work in the NFL. But you're playing the Falcons. Falcons, they can't cover anybody. They have no pass rush whatsoever. Lawrence can have a pizza back there, coffee, and order dessert before anybody gets to him. I'm kind of with you here. I think I would use Shenault this week. I think he's going to be the guy I pick up in that league because this has to be the week. Has to be. This is a guy I really liked in preseason. This was a linebacker playing wide receiver, very hard to take down, who's fast. Why they haven't used him that way is beyond me. Why it's taken so long with all the injuries they've had there for them to use him properly. Doesn't make any sense. I mean, makes zero sense to me, Davis. None. This has to be the week. Yeah, I'm on him this week against the Falcons.
Yeah, it does not make any sense to me. And in fact, it makes anti-sense to me. I hope that I am wrong to cut him. So I hope that this is a good week to use Laviska Shenault in week 12. And I hope that he does get there. And, you know, look, if the Jaguars cannot get anything going on offense against the Atlanta Falcons, who basically have, I mean, they just have completely given up, right? 0 points against the Patriots, total blowout against the Dallas Cowboys. This team has no fight. They have nothing left to play for. The Jaguars should be able to get some points up on the board this week. We're going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. See you guys back in just a few moments. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. Before we look at some of the best DFS plays this upcoming Sunday for Week 12, I need to remind everyone to follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. You can also follow Sports Grid on Instagram as well. We know that managing your fantasy football teams, keeping track of all of your wagers, getting your best bets in, that's pretty much a full-time job these days as sports betting legalization sweeps across the United States. So if you follow at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV, we will keep you up to date on all the news, notes, and injuries. You're going to get highlights from the shows here on the program, and we will just make sure you're up to date. So let's take a look at some of the best plays this Sunday in DFS. We're starting at quarterback with Jalen Hurts, who has been crushing the last few weeks. Now, he's not necessarily been crushing through the air, though he has been very efficient as a passer. But the real money with Jalen Hurts comes, of course, with the rushing yards and the rushing touchdowns. 124 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. And Jordan Howard is out injured for this game. Now, Miles Sanders has returned to the lineup for the Philadelphia Eagles, though he did get benched for a little while in their win last week for fumbling. I mean, Jalen Hurts, he just does it all at this point. I think a lot of the people who were ready to bury Jalen Hurts after the first month of the season are having to eat a little bit of crow right now.
everything's coming up roses in Philadelphia. All right. First of all, it's amazing what happens here when you run the football. All right. That was a joke the first month of the season, but they didn't even bother. They weren't even trying to run the ball. Were they trying to make an evaluation of Hurts all in the first four games to see if he's their quarterback of the future so they don't have to worry about spending those three number ones next year on him? Just strange how they approach that. Sanders goes down, you start running the ball, and you realize, oh, run game works, which makes your quarterback better because teams have to respect that. So, yeah, I'm with you on Hurts this week. The Giants are done. All right, we've been bashing them all show. I'm not going to keep going that, but they're done. I know technically they're not done. They could win seven straight, go 10-7, but this team's done. And Philadelphia traditionally has had no problems playing in New Jersey in the swamp. None. So I think Hurts has another big game here again. He's that dual threat, very high floor. And, you know, if he just throws a couple of touchdowns, he's going to have a monster game here. I think 24, 25 fantasy points is minimum for Hurts this week.
Okay, and I have another question for you about, as it pertains to Jalen Hurts. Do you think that he has done enough for the Philadelphia Eagles to not use any of their potential three first-round picks on acquiring a quarterback? So whether that be drafting a quarterback, you know, a Matt Corral type or something like that, or, you know, trading for a quarterback, right? Using one of those first round picks to trade for one of the potentially available quarterbacks this offseason. Do you think they should turn the keys over to Jalen Hurts next season, or at least until the end of his rookie contract?
Well, because how things are working up, they may not have a choice here. I think Philadelphia's making the playoffs, which is their number one pick is around 20. All right. The second pick they have is going to come from Miami. Now, Miami, they're not playing very well, right? They're actually playing better. They're 4-7. Their schedule, not that hard coming up. I think they go somewhere around 7-10, which means that pick is probably around the 12 range. And then you got the Indianapolis pick. They're even better, 6-5. Now, their schedule is brutal. Indianapolis is not making the playoffs. No way in hell. But still, they're going to win around 8 games. He's about 15. None of those get your quarterback. There's no Mac Jones who's going to be the fifth quarterback taken next year, who's great. That lasts till 15. Next year is not a good quarterback draft coming out of college here. So you'd have to package at least two of those picks, if not all three, to move up there to get somebody. That ain't happening. I think Hurts has shown enough where he is the quarterback. I think they bypass next year as far as taking a quarterback. I think they take BPA, three BPA at their picks, whatever it might be, 12, 15, 20, and they'll take the three best players available. Now, they might trade up a little bit to get a better player. I can see them trading, you know, we'll trade you our 12 and 20 to move up to 8 because they want to get this great pass rush or whatever it might be. I can see that happening here. But I think Hurts right now has shown them enough. And I think they get into the playoffs where Hurts is their quarterback of the future. I'll say no, they're not taking a quarterback next year.
Yeah, I think you're right. And brings me a lot of pleasure to report that. All right, we have one of our best running back plays in Austin Ekeler. Huge game last week for him against the Pittsburgh Steelers. They get to play at Denver this week. 11 rushes for 50 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. 7 targets, 6 receptions, 65 yards, and 2 receiving touchdowns for Austin Ekeler. Going full Alvin Kamara last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Gets a good matchup against the lowly Denver Broncos this week. And what have we been waiting for all of Austin Ekeler's career, George? We have been waiting for him to score touchdowns. He scored 11 touchdowns in 2019, but a lot of those were not in the red zone. He already has 13 this season for the Los Angeles Chargers. Austin Ekeler is just really, really good, and that's about as simple as it gets, and I think he's in a fantastic spot here against Denver.
Listen, I'm not arguing with anybody who wants to start Ekeler. He is that good. He breaks my ankles just watching him on Sundays, right? Guy's shifty. He's a do-it-all player. Do-it-all player. What's great about them is teams can't key on him because you have to respect the deep game there. So a safeties can't play anywhere near the line of scrimmage because you got to worry about Mike Williams, who's really a better MVS. You know, Keenan Allen. They have the receivers. And Herbert's got an arm. And I didn't know Herbert could run like that, by the way. No idea that Justin was that quick. You know, he looked really good Sunday. I knew he had a gun for an arm, but no idea he was that shifty there as well as of running from quarterback. This Chargers offense, when it's clicking, extremely dangerous. And I think Ekeler's a big part of that. So, yeah, I'm in on Ekeler, all in on Ekeler. You talk about right now, rest of the season, what running back, outside of Jonathan Taylor, what running back would you take ahead of Ekeler?
You know, I think I would take Alvin Kamara still. You know, I know that he's banged up right now, but I think Kamara, I would take over Eckler, because really Eckler is just a not quite as, and I know, look, it sounds insane because he has 13 touchdowns, but I don't think he's quite as dynamic as Alvin Kamara. So I think that those things are pretty close. Moving to the wide receiver position on Sunday, we have Brett's guy, Elijah Moore. Finally looks like perhaps the New York Jets made a good wide receiver pick in the draft. Elijah Moore has 4 touchdowns over his most recent 3 games. But the big news update, I thought, was that no more wide receiver rotation, no moving Elijah Moore out for Keelan Cole, no subbing him out for Braxton Berrios. 86% of the snaps against the Miami Dolphins, gets a great matchup this week against the Houston Texans. I think we are feeling very good about Eli Moore this week against the Texans.
Yes. The bottom line is yes, but I'll play a little devil's advocate. He didn't do any of that with Zach Wilson, right? It was the other guys who were playing quarterback that he had those big numbers. So that there's some worry there, you know, that, you know, Zach won't be looking for him, whatever it might be. He should. Eli Moore looks like the real deal. The Jets, you know, for all the criticism we gave them or give them, looks like they've hit on Carter and Moore. Those guys look like good players there. You know, guys you can build around here. So good for them here. I'm sure they would rather put Wilson in this category as well. I think the jury's still out on him. But I like Elijah Moore. I do. And we got to find some cheaper players here. So, yeah, I'm in on Moore against the Houston Texans. Just have no choice because you can't have stars everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about him, especially, you know, in dynasty leagues and stuff. There was a moment there where Elijah Moore was looking like a guy who, you know, kind of your I took T. Higgins over Michael Pittman. I took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson. So you know, we've all made those mistakes in the past, and I now feel better about Elijah Moore not being a mistake. Our final guy here this week, we have George Kittle, who has returned from injury like absolute gangbusters. And the biggest thing with Kittle since he's returned from injury in week 9, he scored a touchdown in every single game. That is massive for him because George Kittle has never had more than 5 touchdowns in a season. Of course, Kittle has always been a phenomenal pass catcher, a phenomenal blocker, but the touchdown part of his game has always been missing. But if Kittle's going to be a 10 touchdown a season guy, George, he has an argument, I think, to be the number one tight end in fantasy, even over Travis Kelce.
Probably not going to go that far at this point in his career, but that being said, I like Kittle a lot. And I think the 49ers did a very smart job in putting him on IR and getting him healthy. I think he probably could have played through the injury and been so-so, if not poor, but could have been on the field here. But sitting him down for those 3 weeks, allowing him to get healthy, was the right move to do. As you said, man, God, since he's come back, he's looked fantastic. All right, like a new player here. He's getting open. He's scoring touchdowns here. The whole San Francisco 49ers team is sort of feeling it here. This is really what's going on here. I think Kittle might be a big part of that. Debo Samuel is certainly a part of it as well. I think those two guys have taken over there. Good for them. San Francisco team that seems to find ways to win even when everybody else gets hurt, right? So, yeah, I like Kittle a whole bunch as well. I don't think I put him above Kelce. I just can't do that. Not in that different kinds of offenses here. And I'm a big Travis Kelce guy. But you want to tell me Kittle's number 2, I'm not going to argue with you, which means we're just splitting hairs here in the first place. Give me all the George Kittle you want.
Yeah, give George all the George he wants there with George Kittle. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens to the tight end position in fantasy football next season. A lot of the guys drafted in the mid-tier, Noah Fant, TJ Hawkinson, these guys have been, you know, they've just been disappointments. And Darren Waller has been, you know, good when he gets the ball, but a disappointment relative to what we expected, especially after that first game. Kittle played through injury. Travis Kelce is going to be 33 next season. So just if you have a feeling on our waiver wire show next year, George, we're going to be talking about lots of touchdown deodorant and lots of guys who are not very good at the tight end position. We are going to go ahead and run into break here real quick on Fantasy Sports Today. When we return, we will have everyone's favorite show on broadcast television, Fantasy Reality. Break.
Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back into Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid TV. I'm Davis Matic, joined by George Kurtz. We've just spent the last little part of our hour getting your fantasy football teams ready for Week 12 on Sunday. Lots of big games. The playoff race is getting pretty tight. George, question for you. Who should even be the MVP favorite right now? You know, the Buccaneers with Brady, some bad losses. Kyler Murray was looking like the MVP favorite, then he got hurt. Matthew Stafford was looking like the MVP favorite, then a couple bad losses for the Rams. You know, that Titans loss in particular was terrible. I mean, the MVP race, it feels like it could be anyone at this point.
It's more wide open than what it was a month ago. All right, and I don't think it could be Mahomes. He had too many bad games in a row. Brady's not really – he had a bad game here or there, but I don't think he gets it because I think the writers is bored with Brady, and they don't want to give it to him again. You know, I think that's why Mike Trout doesn't win it all the time in baseball. Why LeBron didn't win it all the time in the NBA because they get bored. They want to vote for somebody different here. I still think if Lamar comes back this week. I think we saw it without Lamar Jackson how that Baltimore offense just doesn't work. They almost lost that game in Chicago last week. Probably should have lost to Chicago. Lamar comes back this week, plays well the rest of the season, and they do what they do. I still think it's Lamar Jackson for me. I just do because there's no player like him, and that whole team is built around him doing what he can do. All right, so I'm probably going Lamar Jackson here, but there's plenty of time for anybody else. I didn't mention a wide receiver, a running back. This is always a quarterback award. A running back has to do something that hasn't been done before. Maybe Jonathan Taylor does, and he keeps going ballistic the next seven games, and we can talk about this. Maybe Cooper Kupp, same thing, goes nuts and gets 2,000 yards receiving, although even some of the luster's taken off that because it's a 17-game season, no longer a 16-game season. So we'll see here, but I'm going to go Lamar Jackson right now.
Yeah, no, I made that bet. I think I bet it at 14-1, so I would be more than happy to see Lamar Jackson accept his second MVP award. The problem with Lamar is that Dolphins loss, right? Every quarterback has at least one inexcusable loss where they played like crap. Mahomes has a couple of them. You know, Dak has a couple of them. So we will certainly find out. And now we are going to bring in our producer, Brett Levy, for Fantasy or Reality.
All right. Well, we are going to start off with the Tennessee Titans today because they made a lot of roster moves early in the week. They waived Adrian Peterson. They put their wide receiver Marcus Johnson on IR. And they added Dontrell Hilliard to the full-time roster. But I think the most interesting move could be in addition to their practice squad. Golden Tate was signed to the Titans practice squad. And George, we know how many issues they are having in their wide receiver room right now. So we have to ask, and George, we'll start with you. Golden Tate will play for the Titans on Sunday. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I mean, ordinarily, I would tell you no way in hell. No way in hell. This guy just signed. We saw Beckham, a guy who played in the NFL this year, barely play for the Rams when 2 weeks ago when he made his debut there, right? Barely play. What did he run, 13 routes, something like that? And he had played in the NFL this season. Tate hasn't played since last year. He's 33 years old. I want to say no, but who's left for the Titans at wide receivers? They're running out of bodies. So he may have to play just because they need someone to run a route out there. You know, hey, just, you know, like we do in the schoolyard. Listen, run a 15-yard square out, okay? Just it takes players, so somebody has to cover him somewhere. I think what it comes down to is A.J. Brown. I think if A.J. Brown's in the lineup, then probably no Golden Tate. If he's out, like I said, they may have no choice here. We know that Julio Jones is out. Marcus Johnson's done for the season now. There just can't be any bodies left here. I'm going to say probably not. But if AJ Brown is out, all bets are off the table here. I'll say fantasy, but not with any kind of conviction.
You know what? I think it's a reality, and I just learned this while you were talking, George. Did you know Golden Tate from Nashville, hometown kid here for the Tennessee Titans? So I just learned in doing my research that this was reported by The Athletic that basically for the last 3 weeks, sports talk radio in Nashville and in the greater Tennessee area, since Julio Jones went on the IR, it's basically been, you got to sign Golden Tate. You got to bring Golden Tate in. He's a hometown kid. He lives there anyway. He's bet, you know, he's ready. And you know, look, has Golden Tate looked good? You know, the most recent times we saw him, no, he really has not looked particularly good. But Golden Tate is, you know, still probably a useful player. I mean, he scored twice last year for the Giants, played in 12 games for them. His last 1,000-yard season came in 2017 when he was a member of the Detroit Lions. And he had a decent season when he got traded from the Lions to the Eagles as well. I was never a big Golden Tate guy, but I always loved his taunting, right? That was the coolest thing about him, is when he would just, the touchdown he scored on Monday Night Football as a member of the Seahawks, where he gave the peace sign on the way to the end zone. That is that was a great NFL moment. So I'm going to say reality. They signed him because they need the bodies. I mean, Chester Rogers or Golden Tate, I'll take Golden Tate. So I'll say this is a reality.
All right. Well, there was huge news in Major League Baseball this week as well, as Wander Franco signed a 12-year deal with the Tampa Bay Rays. George and Craig joke that the Rays may not even be in Tampa Bay for 12 years. So we're going to focus on Wander Franco here, Davis. Davis, we'll start with you. Wander Franco will play all 12 seasons on his new contract for wherever the Rays are, Rays franchise. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, this is a fantasy, because the moment that Wander Franco gets to be, let's say, so right now Wander Franco is was he about 21 years old or something like that? Right. So when he gets a little bit, so he gets a little bit past his prime, he's making a ton of money, and maybe that when he gets a little bit past his prime, that is going to coincide with the Rays not being as good of a team for whatever reason. You know, like I'm prognosticating 8, 9, 10 years in the future here, and the Yankees will come calling. The Dodgers will come calling, you know, and you know, who knows again what Major League Baseball will even look like then. But there, you know, the Carl Crawford, right? He got traded in division from the Tampa Bay Rays to the Boston Red Sox in basically the same thing. You know, Carl Crawford was a homegrown player, was paid very well by then the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, then the Tampa Bay Rays, then the Boston Red Sox. He will. This is one of the lowest probability things ever. So I'm going to say fantasy. He'll make it like 6 seasons, and then they'll trade him for a bunch of money and a bunch of prospects, and they'll start the process over again.
Yeah, I mean, Davis is right. I mean, this is definitely a fantasy. It might be a fantasy for any player, by the way. Maybe have nothing to do with the Braves. What are the odds of any player playing all 12 years with the same team? Generally, doesn't happen. You might be able to name, really, on one hand, how many players are going to do that over the next 12 years. Anybody, on any team, like I said. So the odds are, no, they're not going to play. He's not going to play with the Rays for 12 straight seasons. I mean, there are other reasons as well. We know the Rays don't have a lot of money. Yeah, Craig and I were joking yesterday that they, you know, the Rays won't be in Tampa for 12 seasons. I doubt they will be. I think they're stuck there until at least 2028. And I think if they can't get a new stadium, they're gone. I don't know if it's definitely going to be Montreal. That seems to be the probable place right now. Things can change. Vegas would be another place if they haven't stolen the Oakland A's. I mean, I think Vegas has a team by 28. Oakland, maybe Tampa. So that's another reason why there. He's not making a ton of money, by the way. And by baseball terms, he's not. I mean, he signed light. I think he made the right move, mind you. But if he would have waited until he was a free agent, which is 6 years away, he probably doubles that contract, if not more, assuming he stays the player he is here. But Davis is right here. Like I say, he's just going by numbers. It has nothing to do with the team or the player. Yeah, there's very few players who are going to play 12 seasons with the same team. No, he'll be on a different team.
Yeah, they're going to let him play all 12 years. But our last one, George, is going to be about music. We're big music fans here, all of us. And Billboard released their top 10 artists of all time. And the number one artist of all time was the Beatles. So, George, really simple. The Beatles are the greatest artist of all time. Is this a fantasy or reality?
Yeah, I'm certainly a music guy from that time. Going to see Genesis in a couple of weeks. And I just got tickets to go see Journey and Billy Idol in February. Both at the new arena, UBS Arena, the Islanders home arena. So looking forward to both of those concerts. Probably not the biggest Journey fan, but good band there. I am a Billy Idol guy, so I want to go see Billy. Genesis is my favorite band. Beatles, I am a Beatles guy. Like I said, they'd be top 10 for me, which lets you know what my answer is going to be here. I probably like a little bit more Stones, Zeppelin, Queen. Like I said, Genesis here. I can go on and on with bands I like, Pink Floyd, The Who. So I'll say fantasy. They're not the greatest artist of all time, but I'm not arguing with anybody who says they are. I am a Beatles fan. I like their music, always have. But I probably like a little bit more oomph in my rock and roll here. So no problem with the Beatles. Enjoy them a lot. If they were around, I'd go see them in concert too. But greatest, I'll say no. I would probably go more Led Zeppelin. Probably go Queen would be my choice for greatest of all time. But Led Zeppelin, Stones, Who would all have to be there.
You know, I guess it depends on how you want to define greatest. You know, greatest skill, greatest lyrics, most albums sold, you know, most people in the world overall who have listened or enjoyed to your music. You know, I and obviously, you know, with music, it just becomes very subjective. I would say, you know, the greatest songwriter of all time is Bob Dylan. You know, I think that he's probably the best songwriter, but he, you know, he doesn't have a good voice, was never even that particularly talented at playing the guitar, not really a great live performer, you know? And then the Beatles, you know, they certainly have stood the test of time. I would say, and I would argue this even semi-seriously, Taylor Swift actually is probably the greatest of all time. She is the number one selling artist of all time. She has the most streams, you know, in world history. And, you know, objectively speaking, her music is very good. Like, there's no way that someone could say honestly that her music is not, you know, well produced. The instrumentation is really good, which I can see George just rolling his eyes, going, you know, no way. But I like the Rolling Stones. I love the Rolling Stones. I love the Beatles. I love Led Zeppelin. But you know, if we're gonna define greatest in terms of, you know, the most people who have engaged with music, it's definitely Taylor Swift. But the Beatles are the answer you can give to this question. And no one will argue with you. If you say the Beatles are the greatest band of all time, no one will ever argue with that. So it is definitely the safest opinion to have. So I'll say reality just so that that I don't get kicked off here on Sports Grid TV. Everyone, we're going to wrap up here on our discussion for week 12 in the NFL, wrapping up fantasy or reality. We're going to go ahead and head into our final segment here on Fantasy Sports Today. See you guys back in just a few moments for the Sports Grid. Break.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to our final segment here today on Fantasy Sports Today on Sports Grid TV. As always, wrapping up our show and our week with the Sports Grid 60.
All right, the New York Mets made news this week, right? Owner Steve Cohen complaining about the agents or the agent in general for Steve Matz that he was lied to. You know, really? You're upset that an agent lied to you. And he says, this has never happened before. How many agents have you dealt with? And why? And by the way, why are you dealing with agents? Isn't this why you have a general manager? Oh, wait, you don't have one of those. You know, Epler's only been there a couple of days. You have a guy who's above him in Sandy Alston. Shouldn't he be dealing with this? Or is he better? Or is he dealing with hiring bad people over and over again in your organization because he doesn't run any kind of background checks? Right? The Mets are so lost right now. It's almost comical. Right? You think about all this and the people he's hired between the drunk, the sexual assault guy, and everybody else. Do they run background checks in baseball? You know, do the Mets run them? They seem to have more spies in their organization than the TV show 24 did when they were hiring people. I mean, it's just awful for the Mets here. And I don't get, why is Cohen dealing with the agents? Isn't that, once again, why are you doing this? And why are you upset about it? Mets, such a backwards organization right now. You got your own George Steinbrenner. He's just a nicer guy. He won't fire people, but he's going to be in the headlines all the time because he's got a tweet all over the place.
It's a good one. Mine is semi-related. Mine is about front offices and making coaching decisions. And you know, I think that we're getting the wrong message with some of these terrible coaches still having their jobs. Right, Urban Meyer still has a job. His team is useless. Right, Joe Judge still has a job. His team is useless. Look, it's a cutthroat professional business. There are only 32 of these jobs available in the NFL. If a coach is clearly not getting the job done, right, holidays or not, Thanksgiving week or not, Christmas week or not, you got to get rid of guys in the NFL who are not getting the job done. Everyone, we hope that you're having a great Thanksgiving week and weekend. We will be back next week. See you guys then.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming.